anybody know what show that comes from?
Cheers.
Do you know what the... Do you know what it was all about? Do you know what that show was all about? What's that? Friends gathering around together, isn't it? Yeah. And they wanted to feel comfortable with each other because they shared in the same issues, didn't they? I did not have this sermon prepared and start on this sermon until Thursday because it was not the sermon I was going to have. But Wednesday afternoon, this gentleman said something to me that touched me in a different way. He goes, Charles, I want you to know something. I really appreciate your friendship. He goes, I don't have too many friends. And it made me start thinking, a lot of us live in a world where people are searching for friends. And I said, and I'm not going to use his name, but I said, do you know why you don't have so many friends? I said, you're not very friendly. I've known him for a while, so I have become friends with him. But he's not a very friendly person. Made me start thinking. You know, Christians have a bad rap. A lot of people don't want to be Christians because of the way Christians act. So do they think Christians are not friendly? And as Christians, are we friendly? You know, I think the one thing God gave me because of my mother is I can open up with anybody and be friends with anybody. But there's times when I'm having a bad day, I'm not so friendly. And are they catching me during those times that I never developed a friendship with that person or that, you know, that someone like that? So today I want to talk about how special it is not only to have friends, but to be a friend. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for who you are. And I thank you for how you have made us. I pray that you will open our eyes and our ears and our heart today so that you will change us today and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than one because they have good return on their labor. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help him up. Also in verse 12, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. What does friendship mean to you today? I never forget, I lived over on Centerville Turnpike, and across the street from me was Centerville Baptist Church. And over at Centerville Baptist Church, the pastor's son, Moore, was Stephen Moore. We were best of friends. But let me tell you something. We got in the most trouble. And we would never blame each other, so we would always have to take the blame together. But I never forget one day his father's preaching up on Sunday morning right up front here, and there's a baptismal pool right in the back. It was like 100 degrees outside. And me and Steve, we couldn't go over to the golf course. There were people over there playing golf, so we couldn't jump in the pond there. And we had filled up the pool on Friday, the baptismal pool, and it had curtains. Couldn't see us. So the next thing we know, he's in the middle of his sermon. We're diving off the sides into the pool. Well, we didn't really know that as we're diving into the pool, the curtains got all soaking wet. And then they could see these two kids through the curtain diving into this water. And the pastor, you know, in the middle of his sermon, is kind of embarrassed. And these kids are back there swimming. He goes, yeah, we're having a special baptism this morning for my son and the crazy kid that lives across the street, Charles Gomez. But we were friends, man. We had a lot of fun together. I mean, we did get into a lot of trouble. So when you hear about pastor sons, a lot of it's true. A lot of it's true. But they're fun kids to play with. I mean, I never forget the day. Does anybody in here, probably most of you are too young, but anybody remember the song, They Call Him the Streak, the fastest thing on two feet? Well, one Sunday they were coming out of church and these two kids were up on a telephone pole naked. Me and Steve. But we were the best of friends. We didn't care what punishment we got because we were tight. You know, they moved away and probably the best for both of us because we were getting older and probably the things would have got worse and worse. So probably best for both of us that he moved away. But I'll never forget his friendship. I meant, when we were punished and we weren't supposed to see each other, there's this pipe that runs under Centerville Turnpike over underneath Fincher's Road, and he could sneak over from his house under the Fincher's roadside, and I could sneak, and we would just sit in the pipe underneath the road just chatting and talking and having a good time. We were the best of friends. That friendship meant a lot to me then, and friendship today means a lot to me. But what type of friends do we develop? I was listening to a pastor this week on friendship because I really didn't have a lot on friendship myself other than knowing what friendship's all about. And this pastor was saying, show me your friends and I'll show you where you're going. He said, show me your friends and I'll show you where you're going. If they're a bunch of guys that don't want to do right, you're going to head down that road. If they're a bunch of friends that don't think about being encouraged about their work, you're going to stay in one area in your workforce. And then if they're a gossiping, you're going to be gossiping. He said, choose your friends wisely. And I'm going to tell you what. Some people say they're your friends, but they're holding you down. They're not really your friends. Be careful with who your friends are. But at the same time, I say be careful. I don't say be unfriendly. Be friendly to those people. Because you might be able to change them. But don't let them change you. Don't let them change you. That's where I want you to draw the line in the road. I have a few definitions of friendship. And if any time you think of something better, you're welcome to join right in. This first part of this one is something me and Steve did very well. One who multiplies joy. Man, we had a lot of fun together. Got in a lot of trouble together, but we had a lot of fun that got us into a lot of trouble. And then I put right beside that, but also divides grief. A good friend, when you're down and out, a good friend might not do a lot for you, but they can take some of that grief away from you and make it easier. One who understands our silence. A friend is full of sympathy. One who stays with you in the ups and downs. That was kind of funny in that one because I wrote that down, but when me and Steve did something wrong, we knew it was wrong. What was the very first thing you think we both did? We both ran opposite ways to each home. But it didn't matter. Our parents always found out. I'll never forget. There was a fire station down the road from us. And I used to have a bicycle with a bottle opener on it. Because back then when I was a kid, the Coca-Cola machines, they were slid down right there. And you had to put money in to pull them out. Well, as a kid, I didn't have a lot of money. So I had a cup, and I would set the cup at it, and I would pop that thing right there, and I'd undo it. And by the end of the week, me and Steve have already been there, you know, 5-6 days. The Coca-Cola man didn't like us at all because all front rows were empty, so no way we would buy a Coke because they were all empty. But here's what was funny. They had a bell out front. And then guys back then, more and more they're volunteer in most places, but I think they're still hired in Chesapeake. But they had a bell out front. And me and Steve, in the summertime, used to go down there at like 5 a.m. and just ring that bell. Hey, wake them up. So then one day, there was a fire over at this farm. And the firemen had recognized me and Steve. They said, you kids want to help out? Yeah. They put me and Steve on this hose, and then they backed up. Me and Steve were doing this. I mean, I bet you I was 10 to 12 feet off the ground. But then the firemen understood. They said, and them kids are enjoying it. And then we're getting mad because we were having fun. So then they cut the water off. So from that 10 or 12 feet, we went, bam. So we didn't help out anymore with fires. But anyway, at least it wasn't one fire that me and Steve had started, but that's another story. We won't go there. But man, we used to have the greatest times together. A friend comes when the world has gone. Have you ever experienced something like that? When it seems like the world is, everything about you is down and hard, a friend comes and strengthens you. A friend understands and accepts you for who you are. And we both knew we were trouble, but we both loved each other. Why is friendship important? And here's where I think it's so strong for a Christian to be the best friend of everybody they can be. A friend makes life complete. Friends make us calm in storms. A friend brings us laughter. A friend gives us a glimpse of God. A friend keeps us on the right path. That's what a true friend does. If your friend is not doing that, he's not a true friend. But now I'm going to tell you about the ultimate friend. I was headed on the path with an angry temper and a problem with fighting. I was headed down the wrong path. And I was actually, and don't anybody that's TAA people here, don't be offended by this, but I was thrown into TAA. It was either go to TAA or I was going to have to go out to this place in Deep Creek where it had a barbed wire fence around the place because of my attitude and my fighting and my troubles with not getting along with people. See, a lot of this happened when my friend left. I was getting in trouble with my friend, but they were all fun and easy things. My friend had left the area. My older brother had just gone to the Air Force. And I was kind of just, I had just been told I had epilepsy. I knew what epilepsy was because my father had it, and it scared me. So I was mad at God, mad at the world. But then when I was thrown into TAA, and let me tell you something, I love that school now. But back then people didn't eat meat. I was like, my mom's one of the best cooks in the world, and you don't eat meat? This isn't right. And then they teach the health measures, but they can't play any sports. They couldn't catch a softball, couldn't shoot a basketball. How can you have a health measure and not be good at sports? I was like, this is a strange environment. I really thought I was thrown into the Twilight Zone. But something happened there that changed my life forever. This man came in and started introducing me to this guy named Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became my best friend. When nobody else could pick me up, he did. He carried me through storms. He was my lighthouse, my protector, and my very best friend. You want to be a strong Christian? You want to make a difference in someone's life? Make Jesus Christ your best friend. Revelation 3:20 says, I stand at the door and knock. If you open that door and let him in, he said he will come and eat with you. It's not about knowing every word. It's not about being a perfect person. It's about turning your life over to the perfect person, giving your will to that perfect person, and letting his blood cover you forevermore. If you allow that to happen in your life, you will become one of the friendliest people and one of the best friends to all those around you. You might not have every answer. You might not understand every problem. But you have the best friend who can handle all those issues and problems for you. Today, turn it over to Jesus and let him be your best friend.
Thank you so much, Charles. And I just wanted to remind everybody and maybe tell you for the first time that our church believes strongly in that message of Jesus as our friend, so much so that we printed it right here. So if you happen to grab a bulletin, pull it out for a second and flip on the inside cover. Actually, it's the back. It says, Why Redeeming Grace Fellowship? In our church, we believe that God is our friend. And by the way, we did that on purpose because we know a lot of people don't know who he is. A lot of the suffering in this world sometimes comes down to just not knowing God is really our friend. It's a lot of misconceptions. We believe God is our friend, and we strive to bring beauty to our broken world by touching people's lives for good, by being their friend. And inviting them to join us on a journey to a new world, a place where everyone is accepted, loved, and given the opportunity to become everything God created them to be.
So our last song, I think it's so cool how God works these things out. So as the last song I'm singing here, it's called Death Was Arrested, and it's probably one of my favorite songs, easily top three. And it's the whole entire journey of us just accepting Christ, who we are before Christ, explaining who Jesus Christ is, and what happens after we start walking with Christ as Christ becomes our best friend. So feel free to stand, feel free to sit, close your eyes, whatever helps you to focus on God. Focus on these lyrics. My goodness, it's one of the best songs ever written, and that's just my opinion. Let's sing this together.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope but no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down. New, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom, me faithfully bore. He canceled my debt, he called me his friend. When death was arrested in my Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love begins with you. A Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoices, oh, heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began, oh, we're free, free, forever, free. Come join the song for the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began, was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. Amen.
Amen. So Johnny and Jimmy, they grew up in North Boston as kids, and they did everything together, kind of like me and Steve did. And then they went to war together, World War I. And Jimmy was in the foxhole. Johnny was just severely wounded out underneath the barbed wire up ahead about 40 yards. And Jimmy jumped out to go to his friend, Johnny. And the sergeant pulled him down and said, "No, Johnny's dead. You're not going to him." But Jimmy wasn't going to leave his friend out there. When the sergeant turned around and left, Jimmy was gone to get his friend. As he came back to the foxhole and he fell into the hole, he had been shot in several times, bringing his friend back. And the sergeant said, "See, Johnny's dead and now you're dying." But Jimmy says, Johnny was alive when I got to him. And Johnny says, "I knew you'd come for me." That's what a friend will do. That's what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. He came from his heavenly throne to die on the cross and to be risen again to be your friend, your Savior, and your Lord and King. Don't turn him down. Turn him on. Remember the very first song with Cheers thing? You want to know where people know your name? Jesus Christ knows your name. Whether nobody else knows it, Jesus Christ knows your name. See, if they knew that, none of those shows would ever have been developed. Because if everybody knows Jesus, you don't have to go where everybody knows your name. Make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross and being resurrected for our sins. We thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. And Lord, I ask that you be with each and every one gathered here today as they go throughout their week. May they be a friend to someone nearby. And may you draw close to them because they are asking you to draw close. Revelation 3:20 says, "I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in." I ask each and every one of you today to open that door and let Jesus Christ into your life for today and evermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go with God's blessings, and I hope to see you next week.